Good morning. And how is everyone doing this fine day? I hope well. And today we are continuing in our study of Ezekiel. This is day two. And I continue on in chapter one. I'm going to take the next 10 verses, and it kind of talks about, as I see it, a vision of God's throne room. Much earlier than Revelation, because you realize that Ezekiel, we're talking 600 BC, so somewhere around almost 700 years before John saw it in Revelation. So that's the way I see it, and I'll show you some verses to kind of indicate what I think the vision is about. So we will start with a word of prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for this time to look into your word and help me, Lord, to see the word the way you wanted it presented, and it can help us to see and get a better meaning of who you are and what pleases you, and that we can give you all the praise and thanks for all that you do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's just jump right in. And we did the first three verses yesterday. And plan on doing the next 10 today. So we'll get through to chapter to verse 14. And so we'll do like we've been doing before and read them first to get a feel for them. Especially these, it's an interesting vision. I call it the throne room because it reminds me so much of the throne room when we get to Revelation. But it's got some other meanings behind it too. And starting in verse 4, and I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and there was their appearance that had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under the wings on their four sides, and they had and They four had the fa their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of the faces, the four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. And the four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched outward. Two wings of each one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. They went every one straight forward, whether the split was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creature, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth. Can't see all the whole verse. I'll read finish reading it. Went forth. Oh, lightning. That's just one word missing. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So that's what we're going to cover today. And so jump into the verses, but first I'll show you some artist renditions of what this what he might have seen. I'll give you a couple of different versions. This is kind of what you see. We're going to get to the rings part tomorrow, and also the part where you see above. Right now we're concentrating on the four They actually turn out to be cherubims that you see. And another picture that of them. This is the picture that we see that comes from a Revelation. You can kind of get an idea how similar they are. So this particular picture is actually Revelation 4. And this is another picture of kind of showing what Ezekiel saw in a different realm. Again, this is all a little speculative. So these are different people's thoughts on what it looked like. I think the closest one would be this one. You can't quite see the faces of the cherubims, the creatures, but they basically each have four faces. And the four faces, I believe, and you can see that here, you see a river Chebar. This is the river that Ezekiel was by when he was having this vision. I believe the four faces are a prophecy prelude to the Messiah coming. And we'll kind of look at that a little bit as we go. So let's get back into the verses. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. So it probably started off more like a fire ball that kind of spread out into the scene I kind of showed you. Some other verses we have that talk about whirlwinds is over in Jeremiah. One 13th and 14. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. I might point out, too, that I think I got a map I can show, too. Yeah, just so you be aware, when they talk about the north, and you see this in a lot of prophecies in the Bible, and it's because here's our map of Israel again that we saw yesterday. And Israel's over here on the left. And there's quite a mountain range down that covers the eastern side of Israel that makes it difficult to get across. And this whole area in the middle is open desert, so it's hard to go straight across. So typically all enemies, even though Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, came and destroyed the city, he actually went north and came in from the north, from like the Euphrates River area. So that realize that almost all enemies, unless they're coming from Egypt or something like that, will come from the north. And as we get to Ezekiel 38, we're going to talk about that again as forces coming from the north. But of course, they're going to come straight from what most people believe is either Russia or Turkey. But at least for this one, we're looking at the forces actually went north and came down straight down from the north. So you can see that this is somewhat of a representation when it says from the north of Ezekiel's mission, vision is a judgment coming. And most people see this as God's judgment is going to be coming on the land of Israel. And you realize that I talked about the three times that and realize that Ezekiel went during the second siege, but it's still Israel wasn't destroyed yet. And so I think that Ezekiel is getting a vision at this point. The whole book of Ezekiel is like a one big vision of the history of all the of what Israel is going to go through, past, present, and future, all the way into the Millennium Kingdom. So you kind of get a general idea of the book of Ezekiel as just one continuous prophecy of what's going to be happening next. And right now we're at the beginning of the book, so that what we're seeing is the prophecy is going to be coming real soon. And in the case of Jerusalem being destroyed, that's going to happen in the next on the next siege after this one, which will be about. See, right now we're at 60. What did I say yesterday? We were like 597 BC, 598 BC, and it finally gets destroyed in 585 BC, I think it was. Find my note here. Okay, I know it's in this note here somewhere. 588 BC. So about 10 years when he's seeing this vision is when Nebuchadnezzar is going to have had enough and he's going to finally destroy the city completely. And so this is possibly a vision that God is showing Ezekiel that his wrath is going to be coming. And so what he's seeing is basically God. And so in this symbology we're seeing it, it's actually representing God, which is why we also know it's the same thing from Revelation. So let's go through some of these things. So warning. So again, I think it's a warning. And so back to the verses. We're in Jeremiah and finishing up Jeremiah 13 and also 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Remember I said that Jeremiah also was a prophet at the same time frame. And he was also warning Israel of their pending destruction. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of the Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judea. Now that's basically describing a siege. So also in Jeremiah 25:9, it talks about that what's going to be happening coming here shortly. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Now it's God here is saying that Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. So God is using Nebuchadnezzar to inflict the punishment he's going to do. And will bring them against the land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about. And will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. So this is what I see this vision as kind of pointing to. So verse 5, Ezekiel 1:5. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance, that they had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. So living creatures, that's an interesting term. Because living creatures here, if you remember from our Revelation study, I talked about the beast. And how the beast is actually, even though it's New Testament, that the words are very similar because here is living creatures. And even though it's in Hebrew, in Old Testament, it's more or less the same thing. It's describing a non-aggressive type animal. Now, when I was researching the Old Testament use of this word of living creatures, I came across that living creatures is a... acronym is in the Greek is Che, and here's the Strong's definition for a Che. And it's interesting that it's H2 2416, and I'll make note of just a couple of things in this is that in the middle here it says wild beast. This word is so general in nature, it can mean almost anything, to tell you the truth. It's in the it's in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, 502 times. And it's amazing how many ways it uses it. It can mean beast. It can mean company. It can mean a congregation. Any living thing. It can even mean quick, raw, running, springing, troop. So basically, it can be quite a few different things. And it's interesting that they use this word here for living creature. So I don't think it's necessarily a ferocious type figure. And I just picked the verse in Revelation that talks about this in Revelation 4:6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. As we get into the description of Ezekiel's vision, you're going to see the same thing, more or less. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. This is still Revelation. and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So I mentioned that word about living creatures because I thought I would give a few examples in the Bible. Now, these next few verses I'm going to show don't have anything to do with this particular story, but I wanted to show how many ways this particular word, living beasts, was used. And some other places in Ezekiel, over in 7:13, you'll see there where it says alive. That's the same word, che, although they were yet alive. And then over Ezekiel 3:13, I'm not going to read them all continuously. I just want to show you some examples of where that word is used. See where it says wings of the living creatures. That's the same word. And 47:9, if you look down where it says they liveth, that's another word, same word, che. Over in Ezekiel 14:15. And where it says beasts, so Ezekiel uses that this word for a lot of different things that turn up to be different words in the English. And one of the more interesting ones I saw was in Numbers 16:30. Here, you see a word there that says quick. That's the same word, che. And where it says, and they go down quick into the pit. Also in Psalms, it stands for congregation. You see that word congregation, that's the same word, che. So interesting how this word is very, very general when it comes to its use. So I just wanted to show you some examples of that word and how varied it is. So I don't think we can use that word as a way of determining for sure that what we're seeing in Ezekiel and what we see in Revelation are the same creature just by the word. Now, I can do it by context, though, because it's associated with God. It's associated with, you know, the four beasts, which are the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. So on the wings, we got a reference over in Kings 6:24. And 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub. For the utmost part of the one wing unto the utmost part of the other were 10 cubits. This is describing a cherub, which is what these particular living creatures are. And we'll have a definition here in a minute of defining those living creatures as cherubs or cherubims. And the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both the cherubims were of one measure and one size. Still in 1 Kings 6:26, the height of one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was it of the other cherub. And he set the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubim, so that the wing of one touched the wing of the wall, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. Now, this passage in 1 Kings is describing the Holy of Holies and the cherubim that are sitting there on the mercy seat within the Holy of Holies. So you can see these cherubims are always associated with God in one way or another. So here we are. So who are these particular creatures? Here in Isaiah 37:16, we have a little explanation of who they are. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. So you see that God here dwells between the cherubims. So wherever God is, these cherubims are. They're like his, I guess you'd call it personal assistants. They actually are his eyes, and as we'll see when we get in tomorrow, when we talk about those rings, it also talks about their all-knowingness. And because of four faces, I think it really is, it represents Jesus Christ, more or less. So verse 7, continuing on, Ezekiel 1:7, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. So you see, this sounds a lot like a description we see in Revelation of Jesus, in Revelation 1:15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. We also see it in Revelation 2:18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Lord, Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. We also saw it described over in Daniel 10, 5, and 6. And I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as the lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. These, I believe, are all talking about Jesus. On Ezekiel 1:8, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and the four had their faces and their wings. I'm talking a little bit about, what I've got to tell you, that within Ezekiel, in chapter 10, they actually describe these particular, he has his vision three times, by the way, and both, we'll see that in verse 9. He'll also have it, the same kind of a vision in chapter 12, and I mean, verse 12 and also verse 17. But in chapter 10, it describes what these are, because he'll see this vision again in chapter 10. And one cherub stretched forth his hands from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof, and put into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubim the form of a man's hand under their wings. That talks about the hands under the wings. It also stated that he was in the presence of the Lord. Let me get my reference up here. It also talks about that. Talk about the wings on their four sides. Oh, and I just wanted to comment too that cherubims in general were. We saw them all the way back as far as even in Genesis 3:24, and I thought I mentioned. They call it the theory of first mention. And it's the first place in the Bible we see cherubims mentioned and what their jobs were. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword was turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So here you can see the cherubim's job is protection. In this particular case, of protecting the tree of life from anybody getting to it. And if they get to the tree of life, then they also will live forever. And that's something that God only will allow to people that he approves of, which will be us once we get to heaven during the rapture. Looking forward to that day. Okay, on to verse 9. Their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. Now, I'm thinking that you're probably thinking, I've done a lot of descriptions. So maybe you might want to see that picture again to get an idea. What we're seeing and reading kind of makes sense of some of the stuff we're seeing. Just as a little prelude, you can see that those rings, you see them in the rings were eyes. And that's kind of showing what I believe, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, but it's the all-seeing eye of God. Probably more so this picture here of those four creatures. I think it's a better shot of the four creatures. You can see that, you got the ox right there in front. You got the man, you got the eagle on the left side, and you have the, the lion on the left side. So in the case of this verse, though, it says that they turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. Interesting verse, and some other places in the Bible that talk about that. That's over in Second Chronicles 3:11-12. The wings of the cherubims were 20 cubits long. One wing of one cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house, and the other wing was Likewise, 5 cubits reaches to the other wall. And one wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits reaching to the wall of the house, and the other wing of it was 5 cherubs joining to the wing of the other cherub. It also talks of them being joined together. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment." So this joined together kind of is an indication that when God, God's thought pattern hasn't changed, it's always the same. So he's always same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. But another great verse that talks about this. See, where am I? In Proverbs 4:25. That they always keep moving forward. And I found this an interesting verse, and I found a verse in Proverbs 4:25 through 27 that talks about this. "Thy wings will join one to another, they turn not let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil." So this is symbolic of the fact that with God, everything goes straight forward in it, that we should always keep our eyes on the Lord, number one, but also moving forward and not trying to go around things, but heading straight forward. And so this Ezekiel here is kind of indicating that, or seeing that in his vision, that it's a, more of an instruction, I think, to Ezekiel that that God wants him to continue on his way and to head straight forward in his mission. Another verse over in Luke 9:51. "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." And also over in verse 62 in Luke. "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So this is a general policy of God that once God gives you a mission, keep plugging away at it, no matter what. No matter what kind of obstacle gets in your way. Okay, Ezekiel 1:10. "As for the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man and the face of a lion on their right side. And the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four also had the face of an eagle." Now, I believe that these four describe the four attributes of Jesus. And it's a reason that there's four Gospels. I realize this is Ezekiel. He's getting his vision of a future time of the Messiah. And if you remember correctly, that when we talk about the four faces, it says the here you see the four faces of the first one he mentions here is a man. And the man, we know that God was born of a woman, and that he became a man. And we see this over in John 1:14. Also Revelation 4:7. I'm sorry. What did I put this one in for? Oh, about the four faces. This is the reference in Revelation that talks about the same thing. "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face of the man, and the fourth beast was like a lion." So right there you can see the two verses that compare to each other, almost identical, between Ezekiel 1:10 there on the bottom and Revelation 4:7. So it's definitely a vision of this future time period of the throne room of God, but more so of Jesus Christ and the Messiah. And about his four attributes, okay, the first one being a man. And we see over in John 1:14 how you read down through that first chapter of John, and you get down to verse 14. I'm going to mention John 1:1 in a minute, but John 1:14, "The Word is identified as Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us as we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the verse that indicates that Jesus was the only Son of God, only true son of God, not adopted, and that he had. I think John makes him uses the word "word" because when it comes to the word, God's word is his bond. He's very proud of his word, and he doesn't want anyone to change it or to alter it. And that, and here it says the word was made flesh, so that God's word was made into flesh, and that's when Jesus was born. So that's the attribute of being a man, that he was all man. He had to deal with all the same things we have to deal with. It's a great comfort to know, too, that God was willing to become a man, to get in our shoes and understand us, but also to save us. Because the only way that we could have been saved from our sins is if somebody died and shed their blood, who was perfect, who was sinless, for us to take the punishment for our sin. And that's what God sent his son to do. And praise God for it. Then the next one is the lion it talks about. The face of a lion. That has to do with the Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. And we see this in Revelation 5:5, where it talks about that. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals of." This is the book of Matthew. And Matthew kind of goes through and sees God as, he sees Jesus as his rightful heir, as king of Israel, being the lion of the tribe of Judah. So the lion is representative of the tribe of Judah, and that Jesus was born from the tribe of Judah. So that's a requirement. And then, so he's basically a descendant of King David. And the third thing we got here is the face of an ox. Now, an ox is a beast of burden. It's used for work. It's a servant. And so that's what the ox stands for. And the Gospel of Mark, Mark was a servant who that book there was, that gospel there was written as from the standpoint of being of Jesus as the servant. And a good example of that over in Proverbs 14:4 says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." So the ox is a workhorse. It's a servant. It doesn't have any other task but to work hard. And that was Jesus also, that he was willing to serve mankind to be a sacrificial lamb for us. And then the last one being an eagle. An eagle is... It talks about the fact that Jesus is a deity, and the gospel that pertains to God as Jesus as being God is John. And here in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word." The Word represents Jesus. He's been in existence since the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So that Jesus as part of the Trinity has always existed. So under Ezekiel, so we got the four faces, and that moving on to verse 11, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 11. "Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upwards. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies." So this is more representative of that third picture I showed you, where you see it here. It's kind of why I got two pictures, because you can see how their wings are joined together. Let's see, where am I? Verse 11. And another verse that helps us understand this verse is in Isaiah 6:2. "Above it stood the seraphims." Seraphims and cherubims are the same word, spelled a little different in Isaiah. "Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." So that in this case, it had six wings. And that's easy to see more so in this picture. See that two covering him and two going up. You can see it more on the sides. Two covering his legs and two just ready to fly. I think you can also see it a little bit in this one too, where two are covering his legs, two are up in the air. You can't see the other two in this picture. Again, these are eyes renditions, which is trying to get a visual of what Ezekiel is trying to describe here. And also other people did see the same visions. So I'm pointing out some of them too. Cherubims are all through the Bible, so it's not an unusual thing to see. Okay, verse 12. And they went every one straight forward where the spirit was to go, and they went and turned not when they went. So this is again talking about not turning, that they're heading straight forward, that they're on a mission. God gives you a mission, that keep plugging away at it, no matter what obstacles may try to stop you. I think that's symbolic of this. But also believe it's symbolic too, that the all-seeing God, that he doesn't have to look left and right. He sees all. He knows all. Over in Ezekiel 10:16 talks about this. And when the cherubims went and the wheels went with them, and when the cherubims lifted up, the wings too mounted up from the earth, and the same wheels also turned not from beside them. So another place in Ezekiel we'll get to, where it talks about the cherubims and these wheels. Okay, verse 13. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. We see it, a companion verse would be Psalms 104:4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire. Also in Revelation 4:5. And out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So again, the same symbology seems to be all through the Bible about what God looks like, how he's represented by the visions of different people. So this whole chapter is really, it's basically a call to Ezekiel that to be a prophet is what my Bible kind of calls this, the first three chapters of Ezekiel, as Ezekiel's calling to be a prophet for God. So this is like the first vision that Ezekiel is getting, like an introduction to who God is. It's interesting how that the same basic symbolism the Holy Spirit uses all through the Bible when it comes to trying to represent who God is. I think He is so just awesome and so powerful and so omnipresent. It's not easy to describe him. So on to verse 14. And the living creatures ran and returned as they appeared, appearance of a flash of lightning. So it seems like they moved really quickly, and that's hard to show in a picture, but that they had the ability to move in and out rather quickly. And again, this is a vision. So the way Ezekiel is describing it is the creatures ran and returned, maybe like kind of like coming forward and then backing off. And it was almost like how lightning looks when it flashes, you know, how it lights up the sky and then it goes away. I think that that's how these cherubim were looking to him as he was watching them. And so I got a couple of verses for these over in Zechariah 4:10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. There they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole world, earth. And Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Remember, I was saying that these cherubim kind of also represent the Son of God. So that this is kind of representing that Jesus is going to be, according to like this verse says, when he comes again, it'll be like the lightning coming out of the east. It'll be like a flash. And I expect that's somewhat Matthew 24 is kind of representative of the second coming at the end of the tribulation. So he's going to come like a flash of lightning. So there'll be no mistake of who he is. So I'm going to stop there for today. Since we've already gone 40 minutes, and so we'll continue with chapter one tomorrow. So I hope that somewhat gives you an idea of what this vision may be trying to say. And so we'll end with a word of prayer. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just for the awesomeness of your power. It's hard to imagine what being in your presence will be like. Some of these visions just make us think that the energy around you is just something that's very hard to put into words. And so I'm looking forward to that day, Lord, when I get to see you in prison and get to worship you. And we all look forward to that day. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. And you can imagine that day, we get raptured, and that first day in the throne room, seeing the person that, the entity that created everything we see. I think about the beauty around us, and that every single thing he created, nothing came from nothing. So it's hard for me to imagine people that can't understand we're a created being. But there's plenty of people out there that think we came from some kind of big cosmic goo. I think that takes more faith than it does to believe in God. Anyway, I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Love you.